Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And today we're going to talk about educating through the holidays.
Holidays.
Which really is educating throughout the whole year.
Yes.
As all parents do, we do it unconsciously. So today we're going to talk about with a little bit of intention. Okay, Kathy, let's start with January. How can we educate and what information would be great about January?
Well, January 1, a new year, New Year's Day. What do you do for that?
You know, I love the New Year's and I often put up a bulletin board called With Jesus Christ, it's a new beginning. And with the new year, it's a new beginning. And you have the New Year's resolutions. And I think that New Year's resolutions are good. I know some people pride themselves in not doing New Year's resolutions. But New Year's resolutions help reestablish good habits that we might have forgotten about as the year wore on. It's a great new beginning. Also in January, besides it being the new year and a new beginning, we have Martin Luther King's birthday, which always is a great time to bring to your child the struggles that people have had. Not everyone is as free as we are now, and
Absolutely.
They weren't in the past. He was such a great speaker, and he had an emotional connection to people, people of all backgrounds, and he was able to at least start progress towards a more unified and free people.
And then we come to February, and we have the president's birthdays, Washington and Lincoln, which is a wonderful thing to, you know, teach your children because it's our history of our country.
Yes, and as time has gone on, they have become, well, they're definitely bigger than life, but they have begun to symbolize really what we want our leadership in the United States to be about.
I always find that interesting. I can understand Washington. He was our first president. And then Abraham Lincoln, he was a great president. But we're clear up into the 16th president of the United States
mm-hmm.
before we
have another
find
good president.
Another great president who did so
and
much.
And you know, Washington, it's interesting because there wasn't all this bipartisan stuff. Everybody wanted him, and he was even reticent to do it. He's going, no, we don't need to have a president. We're a republic. We don't need to have mm-hmm. a president. But the people just insisted. They wanted a head of state. They wanted someone who could represent them to the other nations of the world, and they really had faith in Washington.
Now, what about Valentine's Day? That's also in February.
Yeah, and it has a lot of historical background in mythology and paganism, but it gives us a time now to, you know, say that special thank you to our loved ones. I mean, there's Valentine's for grandparents and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers. It's just not all about Cupid and that kind of love of a man and a wife.
Right. I know I've heard some people say, well, I don't get my husband or my wife Valentine's because I need to show my love them more than just one day a year.
Yes.
But I think it's a nice little special, just a little nudge.
Yes.
Yes, I do love you every day of the year, whether you're my son, my daughter. We always do something special for the girls on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I think that any occasion to celebrate family and relationships is important. I know that I still cherish, and I have some little paper doily Valentines that my classmates gave me when I was in elementary school. And I encourage my students to do homemade Valentines. They mm-hmm. still do all these little crazy things, but I give them a little time. We'll start towards the beginning of February. and I'll put out paper and some heart shapes and stuff, and I'll just show them some of the ones that I still have from elementary school and say how much it meant to me that it was handmade, mm-hmm. and that you can go to the store and quickly get a box of Valentines. And if you have a large class, of course, you're not, maybe you can't make one for each one of them, but for your family members, you certainly can, and it means so much more.
Oh, I've told my kids that over and over and over again, and my 14-year-old still goes with that, that she knows that I like the stuff that she makes.
Yes.
And many, many times she'll give me something and say, Mom, I looked in the store because Daddy took them, you know, and I couldn't find anything that I thought you would really like mm-hmm. more than this.
And it's
and
true.
And she's right. She's absolutely right.
It's absolutely
right.
True. Having the children write poetry and framing it or putting it on the internet, some way to share what they, how they have expressed their appreciation for their parents and for their grandparents and aunts and uncles is a wonderful thing. It ties in with language and language acquisition for the younger children. Rhyming is such a great tool for mm-hmm. learning about words. Okay, well, we're going to travel on to March because we said we had to get through the first 6 months and 6 minutes.
Okay.
So March, we have St. Patrick's Day and we have Easter. What about St. Patrick? You know, St. Patrick is a really interesting historical figure. And if anybody does any research, not only was he just a sincere Christian, but he also kept the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, we always associate St. Patrick's Day with leprechauns and mm-hmm. and four-leaf clovers and luck and all of that kind of thing. But, you know, there's some spiritual significance. And of course, it's my anniversary, so I want to everyone to remember St. Patrick's Day. I mean, I don't like the thing about wearing green or you'll get pinched. I really do always have stickers and things on hand, and I try to remind parents, don't send your child to school without anything green on, because there's going to be some kid that really takes that seriously, that you're supposed to pinch somebody mm-hmm. if they don't have green
yes.
on. Easter, the pagan side of Easter with all of the fertility and rabbits and eggs and all of that kind of thing. Of course, as a Christian, we don't espouse to that. But we do certainly espouse to this, that Jesus
rose from the dead.
And I think that students who are involved in cantatas or musicals that are portraying that story, I think that is fantastic. You can't God spoke to us in metaphors. Jesus, as the great teacher, told stories. You can't tell that story too much.
Absolutely. So after March
comes April.
And see, Easter 2013 will be in March. Many years it's
That's
in April.
Right.
But it moves all over the place.
But we've missed April's Fools.
Right. April Fool's Day.
Now, if you're like me, I can remember that first April Fool's. I was very confused. I must have been about 4 years old, because three or four, because my youngest brother hadn't been born yet. And my dad, when he saw me that first thing in the morning, he said there was a spider crawling on my arm. And of course, you believe at that age everything that your parents tell you. And I was quite
alarmed
by that. And I looked and there wasn't anything on my arm. And then he said that there was something on the ceiling. I looked on the ceiling. He had great fun. And after everything, he would say, April Fools.
Well, my 8-year-old does that to me now. Mom, there's a spider on your arm. Mom, there's a spider on your head. Boo. April Fools.
It's to the point that I, as an educator, really try to have April Fools be a day of professional development so that we don't have to have students at school, because it's just a nuisance.
It can get pretty rough. Okay. And then from April, we go to May. Cinco de Mayo.
Mother's Day. And Memorial Day.
Even Armed Forces Day is in there, though. I don't think there's as much about that day because we have Memorial Day.
Well, I think it's great to have part of what we do with our kids to bring awareness of these different holidays. And Mother's Day is just a wonderful time to express your appreciation for your mom, or to remember your mom if she's passed away. I mean, we should remember our mothers all the time, and we do, but that gives us an additional time to just, you know.
Mother's Day, I always use to, it's kind of opposite, actually, of what you think, but I always use it to take my girls and go do something with them because I told them the day's for them because they made me mom.
That's right. That's a good way to look at it. Mother's Day is that. And I think maybe at the birth of each of our children, it's a Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. And then we come to June, Father's Day. Same thing. What a privilege it is to be a parent.
To know that we are the number one teacher in our child's life. And that doesn't really end just when they're grown up. They continue to come back in a different way to seek advice or to give advice. As they have their children, and they're beginning to realize afresh what it means to be a father on Father's Day or a mother on Mother's Day. July is a wonderful month for families. A lot of them go on a
vacation.
If they didn't get it in June, they for sure try to get it in July.
Right. And it's also our Independence Day. So we get the fireworks and the fun things. And
you know, you think, well, this is just very superfluous. But a lot of learning is going on with independence. I really appreciate the laws where people are not supposed to have so many dangerous fireworks. But I've also gotten to witness a dad with even these simple fireworks, taking and setting them up, and the kids, as they get older, helping to light them, and the rest of the family just sitting there and enjoying the beautiful displays of colors, and then wondering, how did those colors come out of that? What makes the different colors? It's a great opportunity to look at how different chemicals make different colors and how it's all put together.
Yes. They have the simple things too, like the snakes where you light that little black tablet and mm-hmm. it just grows and grows and grows and grows. And to, you know, look up on the internet how these are made, or the smoke bombs. They have the smoke bombs and the smoke comes out different colors. My father would help us homeschool when we were homeschooling our children, and he would teach science. And one day I was gone, and when I came back, it was my two children and then my nephew and my two nieces. And when I came home, they were all pouring out of the house with blue-colored smoke pouring out after them because he had decided to show them. They were studying how smoke bombs were made, and he lit it inside the house. So... Great memories.
Yes, great memories. Those are things that you never will forget. And every time then you are in, you know, it comes around 4th of July. And
oh, remember when Grandpa lit the smoke bomb?
It gives us an opportunity to remember and remember. And that doesn't include the obvious where you want to teach your children about the history of the nation and how independence was won and those stories that go along with that, that are part of our fabric of who we are as a nation, and it gives us a chance to reflect on them. Mm-hmm. So July is a great learning opportunity. Yes. And if you go to the beach, you know, all of the things that are associated with the ocean, the salty water and the sand and how the moon causes the waves to, it's just a plethora of interesting things that your children are learning in a very fun and natural way.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes August.
Which, in my opinion, August should be a totally free month with nothing going on. And you just relax and enjoy the last vestiges of summer. And then school should start, you know, after Labor Day. That's my opinion. But instead, school starts.
Yes. And, you know, I agree with you. Even though I'm a principal of a little school, I don't count anybody absent until after Labor Day. I don't even take attendance. And the reason being is because I'm so strongly of the belief that families are more important than school, and that children are actually learning more being with their family than they do at school. So... So don't tell anybody that because I might lose my job, but we're here on Homeschool Companion, and you already know what I what my philosophy is. So back to school, the kids love collecting their supplies. And I mean, we really, as a nation, spend thousands of dollars on school supplies. I think probably if I was really to look at it seriously, they need markers, go through lots of pencils, and they go through lots of paper, both the lined paper and the plain paper. But glue sticks maybe, yes, they usually end up ruining them before they get all the glue used out of a glue stick. Liquid glue, hardly ever. We don't use the liquid glue as much in schools. I have gallons of it that I replenish their bottles that they bring with it. Because once in a while we'll do some art thing where they drip the glue on the construction paper, let it dry, and then
can color it or glitter it.
Yes,
I know this year we're getting ready for school, and my 8-year-old went through the house and found all of the school supplies she needed inside our home.
I mean, that's pretty miraculous, because the supply list now includes things like, I don't know, handy wipes and baggies even, and things like that.
We had them on that. She emptied my cupboards. She found everything on there and was very, very excited. And of course, before that, she homeschooled. I still would make her a list, because that was so much fun. We would go school supply shopping for school, whether we were in
regular school. That's why you had so much stuff in your house.
Yes, it is.
Because that's just a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So we're back to school, and we've taught our children a lot of things about manipulating things. They need to hold on to things. They need to be able to hold that paper, write on that paper. You know, just writing for the kinesthetic learner is so important. So they have their tools of school, and it's their school is their work. So now we're going into September and Labor Day. Labor Day is traditionally that day off. We don't really theme it with anything, except that now you get one day off from your labor, and you're supposed to get paid for it, hopefully.
Right. And also in September, you have Grandparents' Day, where, again, it, you know, falls under the same thing as Mother's Day, Father's Day, all those wonderful little... In fact, you also have Step Family Day in September. I didn't know that, but I found that out today. And you have Native American Day, you have Citizenship Day, all in September. A lot of things you can study there.
Yeah, and Citizenship Day is a great thing, because schools do emphasize citizenship during that month, just because they want their students to behave well. But families can take it as a renewal of the processes they're going to do within their family, so that everyone treats everyone with respect, the chores are done in a timely manner without a bunch of whining and complaining, and the new routines for the year are set. We're going to eat as a family, and we're going to get up at breakfast time, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And it is almost another new beginning, like New Year's was. The beginning of the school year is another new beginning. So I like September, and there's a lot of things that we teach our children through that process. You know, summer we were relaxed, and we didn't have as many places to be. And now the school year has started, and now we're going to establish a new routine for this school year.
And then comes October.
October, Columbus Day, and Halloween.
Yep.
I love Columbus Day, because there's ships that have all these intricate sails on them that, you know, kids are very fascinated with. We talk about a fall. The leaves themselves just are a message from God of, you know, yes, this planet is passing away, but even in that, God has shrouded it in beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the new beginning that will come, the promise of the spring and the fall. We have that. And I love teaching about seasons in general in fall. And I love teaching about history. And then we have that difficult subject of Halloween. Halloween, the name, means to hallow the evening. And we don't believe that the dead are even conscious. So how do we handle all these ghosts and goblins that seem to surround the media, the stores? You cannot go into a store without some skeleton lighting up.
Mm-hmm. And horror music. I know where we used to live, they would decorate their yard with gravestones and screaming, you know, background screaming from like horror movies and stuff.
Yes, I cannot figure out what is appealing in it at all. I know from a psychological point of view, if we make fun of these things and we desensitize ourselves to the horrors of death, we can maybe navigate through the world with less pain. But I do not think that's necessarily a good thing.
No, I don't like desensitizing myself to death. I've experienced death amongst my family members, and I see nothing to laugh at at all.
I think that it's an opportunity to teach our children about the state of the dead and what Jesus Christ, the ideal that he wants for us. At the same time, I'm not going to not give candy out to kids that come dressed as hoodlums and goblins and whatever.
I agree.
But for me in my house, I would like them to be portrayed in a wholesome manner. And I'm not opposed to dressing up. There's other times that we dress up. We dress up for in our play. We dress up for different programs that we put on at church. But the dressing up as everything, Satan seems to have a counterfeit for everything good that we have done. And so, you know, I'm sad about that holiday because it could be just a great celebration of fall and the beautiful colors and things that he's given to us.
And then we go to November.
November.
Veterans Day and Thanksgiving.
Veterans Day is usually the 11th, or does it move around?
It moves around.
It moves around.
Yes. It's the 11th in 2013.
Okay, so Veterans Day is an opportunity for your children to thank a returned serviceman. We try to put on a little Veterans Day show, and I've had the veterans that we've invited, I've had them just really weeping at the kindness that the kids had made them some cards and sang them a song, and then we went out and we prayed around the flag and said the Pledge of Allegiance. So Veterans Day gives you an opportunity to reach out to veterans, and we have more and more of them that need our support and love.
Yeah, we have a lot of veterans now from the past.
Yes, yes. And then we have, well, Election Day is usually in November too, and that gives you a time to talk about the three different branches of government. Get your children involved in some of the political goings on. And also, leadership is an interesting thing, because if we can teach our children to be leaders rather than followers, we've provided them with a big protective factor.
Yes.
And then Thanksgiving.
Yes.
We know quite a bit about Thanksgiving because we are in the month of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday because it means family. I don't have to bother about gifts. I mean, I might have to make some extra food, but it's all about family and friends. And we're coming to the close of our show, but we have to talk about Christmas just briefly. Christmas time is also one of those holidays that has a lot of pagan trappings. And of course, all of these holidays have become very commercialized. But Christmas is that time to remember again that the God of the universe loved us so much, he sent the best gift of all, and that was Jesus Christ. And we cannot talk too much about that. Every show, we try to talk about that great gift of Jesus Christ, who loves you with his whole heart, and he's seeking you this day. And we ask that maybe you can give it to him in a small token of your love for him. And we have one last thing to say, and that is,
God bless.